than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast.
Ooh. Cast.
Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, we got two games left in the regular season. All the Ravens have to do is win both. Win, and they're in. It's kind of like Thanos at the end of the last Avengers, or two Avengers movies ago. Right? All right, fine, I'll do it myself. That's what the Ravens are doing right now. So will they be able to win with just a snap of the fingers? We'll see. Let's talk all about it. Joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to avoid the snap of the fingers around here, man.
That's right.
Trying to hopefully more survive. I'm ready for the holiday season, man. It's in full swing. And did you really have to start with the, I got bad news and good news, and here's the bad news first. We've got two games left, man. I don't want this thing to end, man.
Two games, that's it. But if the Ravens do what they got to do, there will be more than two games. So hopefully we can
get a third. It may be a fourth. Hey, you're right, man. And we're at that December point of Ravens football where they got to take care of their business. They got a playoff push to go to. And I was talking about this week, man. I know it's a bitter thing to know that this team hasn't made the playoffs in the last 3 years, at least, and it's just really sucks, man, I'll be honest with you. But, you know, as a fan, I want to ask you, man, do you feel like, I wouldn't say optimistic, but do you feel proud that at least they're in discussion this late in the year every year, even if they don't make it? Are you one to think that's a positive thing? Like, hey, even if we don't make the playoffs, at least we're right there at the end? Or would you rather them, like, you know, go like 3-13 one year and then make the playoffs and then have a bad losing season? Or do you prefer the consistency at least during that discussion every year?
I mean, you know, it's like Toretto said, you know, it doesn't matter if it's by an inch or by a mile, winning is winning. And you always feel better when you're winning. And I like the fact that the Ravens at least keep it interesting up until the end of the season. I mean, yes, last New Year's Eve really did suck because that Ravens loss just killed you. And the year before that, at Christmas, that game just killed you. But the fact that they can make these games interesting throughout the entire season, like, there are some teams that are already eliminated from contention. I mean, yes, if you're a fan, you're going to watch it, but you're not invested. It's kind of like, you know, on in the background at this point. So it's good to still be invested and still have that chance. And once they finally get over the hump and they do make it to the playoffs, even if it isn't this year, if it's next year, it's going to be that much more fulfilling knowing that they worked so hard, that they were finally able to get over that hump and get into the playoffs again. So I like that they keep it interesting, and I like the fact that they're in charge of their own fate right now. Yes, they're going to be scoreboard watching, and I listened to the game on Sunday on the way back from the beach, and Dennis Pitta said, you know, every single game, the guys are scoreboard watching, but when it gets to this point, it's almost, you know, a second part of a motivation for the team by seeing what other teams are doing, knowing that when you scoreboard watch, you have to do certain things to get to where you have to be. But right now, the Ravens don't have to do that because if they win, they're in. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, man. It's been the same like that. And I like that. I mean, especially for, you know, me watching the games. I mean, I'm sure a player, it's more pressure packed. But that means going into this Saturday, it's a playoff game. It's like how it's kind of like how college football is. It's, you know, you get to December football and a lot of fans are like, well, I don't like it like that. Well, that's your opinion. I mean, it is what it is. But I love the drama. I don't like the fact that it you know, I mean, yeah, it'd be pretty nice to have a cushion. Like, oh, we got the one seat locked up. It'd be nice to have that luxury. We did 1 year, 2006, and we squandered it. So, you know, it kind of like you get lazy. Like, okay, we got it locked up. Let's rest players. And then just kind of like, let's say if we were like the Saints or the Rams or the Chargers. I mean, it'd be nice. I'm not saying I want where we're at versus that. I'd rather be the one seed and win 10, 11 games at this point. But I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to worry about that. Oh, should we rest players and the games don't mean anything? And then you got to water it down. And then as a fan, you know, I'm not even going to go on this high horse right now, Brandon. But, you know, the games don't mean anything. It's more like a preseason game. But it's let's say that we play the Browns in 2 weeks. Let's say the Ravens clinched like 3 weeks ago and I got to go to the Browns game, pay full price. So me as a PSL owner, season ticket holder, I like going to games that are meaningful. So, I mean, I'm enjoying the ride regardless. I mean, hey, if they end up winning 10, 11, 12 games at this point in the season, I'm all for it. You know, I'm not on that board. But me, I love the drama. So I'm going to enjoy every moment no matter what the Ravens give us. But to me, I'm proud. I'm proud of the consistency. I talked about that at halftime. We went in, you know, underneath the overpass on the concourse, and I was talking to my dad. My dad went with me to the game, and I even talked about that. We were talking about some of the Orioles' new moves and the new manager and GM, and I kind of said, and that's how that conversation came about. And I'm kind of wanting to bring it on here is, you know, I'm just proud of this team every year, even though they made the playoffs at least in December. It's meaningful football, not like it's like how many times have the Orioles have been so bad? It's like baseball starts in April, and by June you're ready for football, right? Like it's the team's irrelevant 2 months into a baseball season, so it's like at least the Ravens aren't like irrelevant in October, right?
Right, exactly.
Where it's like, oh, they're like going with 7. So I'm like, hey, I'm just saying this: be proud that the team. It feels like this is a turnover season. You know, Joe Flacco went down. They draft a lot of rookies, and it seems like every year they go through that turnover or rebuild season, and all of a sudden they're in a playoff discussion every single year. And apart from one blunder of the year Harbaugh had, we've been in that discussion. I mean, if you look at Harbaugh's tenure, you know, they've been in playoffs more often than not. Now, obviously, the back end of that era and Flacco and Harbaugh and all that, it's been a lot of what ifs, so closeness, and oh man, they're right there. But you know, hey, you know, we had a run. And they're right there right now. I mean, they took the, and you have to have a bit of hope here. The number one seed right now in the AFC, they had the lead with a minute left in the game. Just let that sink in. Last week, the Ravens, or 2 weeks ago, feel like the Ravens had the lead against the Chiefs on the road with a rookie quarterback, and he threw that touchdown pass to Brown. They had the lead with just a little over a minute left in regulation. It took an MVP type play with a all-pro receiver and a crazy misread by the defense. I mean, everything happened that way for them to get to that point. So that's all dead and buried. Then they moved on. Then they carried that to a wet, sloppy game in Tampa Bay, man. And, man, it was one of those games where it was like, if you're with me, you would have thought I was subdued. It's just because the elements, I'm not going to lie, man, it was miserable. Yeah, I enjoyed it, and that's what makes the memories of the games. But because everybody gets that. Like, oh, I'm on my cozy couch all warm, and I don't have to get wet and soggy. I mean, but hey, I had a good time tailgating. It makes for that memorable game. But shoot, at that point, I wish it snowed. But I still was into the game, you know, and all the great fans that braved it out were there with me. And, man, it didn't start off well. And how many times do we hear the Ravens, the mantra, you know, it's not always pretty, it's never easy, but it's us. And that was us. That was the Ravens, because, I mean, they did not start off well. I mean, it was, I already heard the chants behind me, put in 5. I want some 5 action already. And I'm like, it's just how it goes. So, you listen to it on the radio. I don't know if you got to this point. Do you remember in the call of the game with Sandusky where Lamar got out of that sack? Did you hear that call on the radio?
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, well, yeah, go back to that because it was great because when I'm sure you saw the highlight. Well, he did that. He pretty much the pocket collapsed right on top of Lamar. And if it was Joe, it was a sack or worse. He could have fumbled the ball. I mean, it was bad. And Lamar looked like he was going to get sacked. And all of a sudden, he pops out on the right-hand side. And then he's running that, making moves, going down the field, and he gets a first down. I'm like, and I went, it was funny because, like, I was kind of doing that. You know how Boomer does it when he called the plays? He was like, whoop, 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 like that in the highlights. I was doing that, and I was like, ooh, ooh. And then I turn around, I was like, ooh. And then the guy behind me yells, can five do all that? No. And it was just great because the fans are going back and forth with the quarterback banter. And, I mean, again, we get it. Again, it's still a heated thing to talk about today. It's crazy. I mean, have you seen a movement like this where fans are so passionate on one stance? I mean, quarterback goes down and it's like everybody loses their minds. Well, it's like the Dark Knight, right? The Joker.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's like, geez, man, chill. It's just like, I don't know. Like, Joe Flacco, it's almost like, I hate to say this, but it's like, I wish Joe Flacco didn't get injured because everybody's just, they're crazy. I'm like, I'm not calling people got their opinions, right? And not putting anybody down for that. And I've even said it time and time again on social media. When I put some out there and it gets people talking, right? I'm not doing it to, and I'm not saying nobody's wrong or I'm right or wrong. I don't have the right or wrong answers. I'm stating what I've seen. And what I've seen in facts back it up. The fact is the Ravens were 4-5 and going nowhere fast. The quarterback gets hurt. I didn't even know he got hurt after the loss. I didn't know he was hurt until the bye week when these rumors start coming out on radio. I saw Flacco and crutches in a boot or whatever they heard. And then I was like, no, what, really? And then all of a sudden it came out. So, and then all of a sudden, you know, enters in a rookie by happenstance because of a fluke thing. And we start winning. And I'm like, okay, keep it up. And I covered it, I think, last show. Remember what Adam Schefter said in a statement? You know, yeah, Joe is different. Lamar's different. And Joe, paraphrasing what he said, but he goes, but it's different. And different is winning football games right now. And that's what I've been trying to point out. I will say this on the air right now, and I will tell all to download it so you can hear it straight from the source. I've been trying to say it on social media. I am not, no way, shape, and form putting down Flacco. I am not a Flacco hater. I am a Flacco supporter. I'm a Ravens supporter. I support whoever's quarterback. I don't care if Ben Roethlisberger got traded to the Ravens, it was him. I don't care if it was Tom Brady under center for the Ravens. I care about the team as a whole. But what I'm pointing out is the team was stagnant, and it's not a coincidence that for some reason the Ravens were pass heavy, not run heavy, and it was a 4-5 record with a 3-game losing streak attached to that, the tail end of that. And it's not a coincidence that the Ravens are dead last in passing, which I pointed out, and near the top in rushing, and all of a sudden they're 4-1, and they really should have been 5-0. It's a team effort, I get it, but on the offense, I'm just talking offensive, so I'm not talking about defenses, not covering a certain player, and not making plays, scooping up a fumble. I'm talking offensive game plan and offensive attacks. For some reason, the Ravens are bucking the trend in a pass-heavy league. They're showing, okay, Lamar, I don't think, and I go back to the stats, I do not think, Brandon, for certain, that Lamar, for a quarterback, has thrown for over 200 yards in a Ravens game yet. I have to go back and look at that here. But, you know, it's not needed right now. And what fans are getting away from is, again, I'm going to have to talk about this. I keep seeing it, hearing it. You're comparing Lamar to what Joe can do. Well, Lamar don't have to. Like I think Lamar missed a read, and I think it was Mark Andrews down the middle, and he was wide open. And everybody at the stadium and all I heard on social media was, well, Joe would have had that. Well, would he have? I mean, or in that play, you have to look at it. What if he gotten sacked? Did Lamar have to move out of pocket to make that throw? I don't know. I have to go back to that play. But you're right. Yeah, he don't have the arm strength, but you're comparing to what a Lamar Jackson rookie quarterback can do who doesn't have that skill set to a Joe Flacco who's got a cannon for an arm. So it's a very unfair advantage. It's like, really? You're comparing vegetables and fruits here. Like, can't do it. Like, it's just not going to work. Like, you know, I just don't get it. So, you know, I digress from that just saying, again, you know, I support the team and the direction they're going in. And I came out and said this today. And I didn't mean to want to start a firestorm with people. I don't know if you saw my comments, Brandon, but I was meaning to say, again, and I've seen on social media boards where a lot of people actually do side with, I wouldn't say my opinion, because I call that because it's a fact. People are acting surprised, and I'm calling people out on this when I say all that. People are acting surprised of the fact that know, Joe Flacco goes down and they expected to hand his job back. I said it time and time again. If this was a 1 week thing, Joe would be back, right? Let's say if Lamar had to fill in for one game and Joe just was banged up, had to be removed, and he'd be out the next week or maybe 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a big deal. But the longer that went on and Joe Flacco was on a shelf and then had to get a full week of practice and then the team kept winning in that point, the longer that went on, the further his job was getting back. And then the further – and because the Ravens – they drafted Lamar in the spring of 2018, this past year. You know, we as fans and media's covered it too. They broke down the salary in the next 2 years, and they pretty much – the writing was on the wall that Joe was not going to be on this team in 2019. And obviously, in Rappaport of NFL Network actually confirmed that. No, whether he wanted to confirm that or not because Lamar is on the team is irrelevant because – I knew going to mini camps when I was out there watching them all play that, hey, I was taking pictures of Flacco and trying to get all I could because, hey, I knew personally, and even in July and August, that, hey, this is number five's last stand here in Baltimore. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not in no way putting him down saying, well, I'm glad Lamar's here and forget what Joe did. I mean, Joe brought a Super Bowl, and he's mentioned in the same breath as Joe Montana with 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in a playoff run. You know, so he's got it. I got the picture on my wall. He's holding the trophy, Super Bowl 47 MVP. I met the guy numerous times. I love me some Joe Flacco. You know, but I'm coming in as a realist thing. I went into this with his injury going, okay, I accepted it. For people, I just don't think you're getting it through the head that are not accepting it. Like they think Joe's got to come back. No, he doesn't have to come back. You don't owe Joe anything. He got paid. He won the championship here. He made the run. He's got 10-5 playoff record. But again, it's just like they go back. I would love to interview the Patriots guys, you know, and Drew Bledsoe. Just because you have a name and what you did, you are not owed anything, you know. Thank you, Joe. But this is the situation we're in. I mean, I hate to go on another rant, but I just feel like it's warranted, man. Because, I mean, it's at the forefront of discussions because it is what it is. But, dude. Now, I don't know about you, man, but I'm sure you're enjoying winning football right now because I remember asking you last time, we didn't expect to be in this position after losing the Steelers covering the team on the bye week. We were all doom and gloom, this is going to be a down year, and this is tough. And the fact remains is you're right. As you said in the beginning of the show, they have their own destiny to keep track of because they beat Tampa Bay. And what I found resilient in that game, even though it was sloppy, because I'm going to ask you, how much of the game did you actually get to listen to on your travels? Like, did you listen to the whole game, some of it? Do you remember what part?
I got on the road around 1:30, so I missed about the first quarter.
Okay. So, yeah, that's when it started getting good because they were really sloppy in the first quarter. Both teams were. They weren't really doing anything. But they're really honing in on some of the key factors and nuts and bolts of this win, and as important win as it was, is the fact that even though it was raining and I'm not going to even say the weather factor because it factored from both teams. I've seen both players players from both teams, for getting tied up. They went down, they slipped, I've seen drop balls, I've seen caught balls, I've seen this and I've seen that. So both teams were in the same conditions in the same field in the same city. I watched it was there. So, I've seen it. Cameron Brate fell a few times as a tight end for Tampa Bay. And it did start off sloppy, but what I found awesome is the Ravens found themselves in a hole. When the Ravens were down, I'm like, no, this can't happen. But luckily – and fortunately for the Ravens, they botched the extra point. It was only 6 points. And I'm like, okay, you're down already at home. You're this team. And I was yelling at the boys, pick it up. You guys got to play better. Come on. I was rooting them hard, right? And boy, did they turn it on. They you know, and even Lamar, he didn't get rattled out there. He didn't let it show. Where it's like, okay, they're down. And he's gotten away from his game. And he's starting making plays he shouldn't. Again, got to hold on to the football, raining or not, again. But – something we got to work on every week. What keys I want to hone in on is the Ravens won by 8 points. Okay. They let the Buccaneers go down the field and get in a red zone on several occasions. There's two big occasions, especially when they're on the 3-yard line and only came away with 3 points. Okay. the big swing when you're in close games or in any game, when you let up 3 points versus seven, especially on a stupid turnover or a mistake, mental lapse, that's huge because it's still a win. You know, the Ravens, I don't know what Jones was thinking, Cyrus Jones. Get away from the football. Either pick it up and run, and I'm alluding to the kickoff where he basically touched it and let them get the ball. It's uncalled for. It's a mental mistake, mental lapse. I know Harbaugh was quick to dismiss that. Didn't want to talk about it. He goes, we'll talk about meetings. So I'm sure there's some talking to him that Chris Moore entered the game and provided a burst of energy in the return game. So because he returned one nicely, they're almost midfield, like in the 40-yard line range of midfield. So it ended up proving, but even that play, it didn't turn into seven. It turned into three measly points, and that's the key because two red zone defensive stops, that's 4 points he stopped. The game would have been tied. The Ravens won by eight. That was the difference in the game. But here is another glaring stat, man. They held the Buccaneers to 12 points. Nine of those 12s were on turnovers. They had the touchdown and a field goal because they missed the extra point on the touchdown. So, and then they got another field goal just by way of getting down there. So, what I felt very confident in this game, though, as a whole, is, and I didn't even know this, just because of, I guess, Tampa's record and they became relevant throughout the year, but they held the number one passing offense statistically in the league, which is insane with all the other players and other teams. And this is a performance that weeks removed, they held a Julio Jones and a Matt Ryan 131 total yards in that attack in the mid-300s. I mean, Tampa Bay was putting over 400 yards of offense, and they held in the way their average points and yards, they held them down to below their average in the game. So the defense proved, the offense made some plays. Willie Snead proved big in the slot in the center of the field. Tight ends, man, Hayden Hurst was involved in the game. But, dude, again, we have to talk about it. How about this running game? How refreshing is it?
It's you know, something that we talked about at the beginning of the year, and it was completely missing. It was non-existent. And then just to see a complete 180 done, you know, we have been talking about Joe and Lamar a lot this year. And, I mean, you can kind of see how Lamar is affecting not just his own game in this, but he's also affecting the running game. He's also affecting the defense because, like you brought up before, the defense is doing really well, and that's because they're not on the field as much. They're more rested at the end of the game. We were always talking about the last 2 years how games were ending poorly for the Ravens, and it could have been potentially because they were just so tired. So now both the offense and the defense can spread the love around a little bit, and they both can finish the games. I think I was listening to Dennis Pitta on the radio on Sunday, and he brought up the fact that the Ravens offense was pretty much on the field the entire third quarter, and it was maybe like 2-3 minutes of like a three and out, and that was it that we saw of on the other side of the ball for the defense. So the running game is helping not only Lamar Jackson on the scoreboard, but it's helping the defense as well. The entire team is affected by this.
Right. It's a compliment to each other. And we've always alluded to it in the past few weeks where this strong running game, it's crazy, man. In a passing league and where we come from, Joe to Lamar, you would think that, you know, oh, they need a passing game to survive. But they're bucking the trend, man. They're winning with running and defense in a pass-happy league. How crazy is that?
I mean, you were kind of getting away from that towards a lot of teams were, and now the Ravens are going right the other direction.
Well, the Rams did it. You know, they put up near 40 or over 40 points, and I only know because I was watching the game frustrated as anything because I have Todd Gurley in my fantasy. They put up so many points, and if you went to bed or didn't even watch the game and you had Todd Gurley in your fantasy thinking, oh, now speaking of the Rams, thinking, oh, he probably had a monster game. He didn't even score. So and even the commentators, I was watching the game, and they were saying who were covering the game. They're like, you know, it's like McVay forgot how to use the best weapon in the NFL right now. And it's like, you know, it's like you didn't need Todd Gurley, and they got too pass happy. How many times have we seen it in the red zone? You're first and goal in the two, and even happened with Joe Flacco. Again, I know it's Marty calling the plays, and it starts there. But what are you doing trying to call a pass play and jamming it in there? I mean, run the ball. Keep it simple. You know, and maybe because we had Alex Collins, and maybe it's because Alex, because it's the same line, guys. It's not rocket science. This isn't like they replaced you know, when Lamar came in, they gave him a whole new offensive line. It's the same stupid guys out there blocking. So you can't sit there and tell me something happened. It's the Lamar Jackson X factor. You have to account for him, and then he's opened up holes in the run game. I've seen it. NFL Network covered it this week. It's called their In Motion. Go watch it. It's on the Ravens app, on the Ravens website. I watched it. They break down the X's and O's. If you don't believe me, go watch the people who get paid to do it and break it down. It's no secret that all of a sudden it's working. The Ravens, and they put it up on the scoreboard in the stadium. The Ravens are the first team since 1976 to do something incredible. And I wonder what it has to do with. What do you think? Passing, rushing, defense? What do you think?
Oh, man, I don't know. The running?
Might be the running. You're right there, man. And, yeah, bingo. The Ravens are the first team since 1976 as a whole. I'm not talking quarterback or running back. I'm saying a team rushing total, okay? They put up at least 190-plus yards, so at least 190 in five straight games. The last time that was done was the 1976 Pittsburgh Steelers, and Franco Harris was in the backfield on that team. So you can't sit there and tell me that, Lamar needs to throw more. Yeah, we know he needs to throw more. He's not a running back, his quarterback. We get it. But whatever they're doing, it's working. And again, we're alluding to Adam Schefter. It's not going to last long, and I put it out there, and I'm going to be true to that word. I still don't know how I feel about this type of offense because, number one, it is new. Number two, I don't know if it'll last in the NFL. I've seen fans online refer to it as this high school JV kind of, but it's working. I can see if Lamar came in and only won one game or lost all five, then I could sit there and say, you're right, guys. Well, it wasn't working with Joe. It wasn't working with Lamar. Maybe it's a system issue, but it's working. Enjoy. How many times I got to sit there and say, enjoy the ride, enjoy the moment? I told my buddy Chris, man. I said, I'm at the point, and me and him agreed, I said, I'm at the point where I'm going to stop breaking it down for people, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm just going to be the fan of all fans and saying, I'm going to drink all the purple Kool-Aid, drink the purple whatever, purple and black, whatever, and sit here and root my team hard instead of being real, because being real to me, it's like backfiring, because it's like all I'm doing is pointing out the real stuff and the facts, and the fact that something changed overnight. It wasn't like this gradually happened. It was the very next start. They ran all these yards and beat the Bengals. They did it again and beat the Raiders. They did it again. Beat the Falcons on the road. Oh, Lamar's playing on the road. Okay, he's been airhead. Oh, all he did was throw a go-ahead touchdown pass, not a run, to a John Brown. And I mean, they barely lost that game. You know, so again, there's mistakes in each game. You know, you shouldn't do this, should have did that. We get it, but. Oh, my gosh, man. The Ravens are 4-1 in the last five games. They're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. I mean, the Steelers just basically lost three straight until they had to win one again. So, and right now, the Patriots aren't looking too hot. So, right now, Lamar's playing better football than a lot of players out there, a lot of teams, and leading the team. So, and I'm enjoying it, you know. And I think it's because I've accepted it. I was like, you know what? It's just, again, you know, I feel like it's like someone lost a family member. It's like they can't accept. I get it. You know, hey, you got time to grieve and move on. But thanks, Joe. But it's Lamar time. I get it. You know, who's with me on that? I mean, it's not hard. You have to accept it because sooner or later, even if it wasn't this year, you're going to put up with this next year, but not compare him to Joe. And I think that's what I can't wait for because it's, you know, it's going to be a point to talk about it because you're not going to change it. You're not running the team. It's Harbaugh's ultimate decision. Obviously, Bisciotti supports it because I think Steve, even though he's not in the media a lot during the year like some of the owners are, we in the NFL, we know. I think if Harbaugh made the wrong decision, I think Steve would have intervened, wouldn't you think?
I think so, but let me ask you this real quick. You're saying the you know, people are looking for Flacco. They don't know they're not really happy with what's going on with Lamar playing. What about a guy like John Brown, who did really well with Joe Flacco at the beginning of the year, and now you have a run-heavy offense? He's a guy that is probably looking for a payday next year and had a great season this year. He's making about $1 million. I think he's making a little bit more than that, but it's a one-year deal. Is he going to be around next year if Lamar's the guy next year, everything points to, yes, he's the guy next year. Or is John Brown going to now look at other teams going, all right, who's a quarterback that's going to throw to me? Because, yeah, I mean, running routes is great and everything, but if you're not getting the ball and you're a football player, your stock goes down in the league, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get bored out there.
Great point, man. Great point. I think he finds another team. And I even said it on Sunday. I don't think Crabtree was even targeted. If he was, he didn't log any stats. I mean, it was just, you know, Snead and the tight ends. And, you know, I'm all for whoever wants to produce. But you're right. But I don't, to my knowledge, I don't hear these guys complaining. And if they're doing it, they're doing it in solace. They're not doing it in the front of the media and being vocal. They're really being team players. But you're right, man. If you get paid to do a job, you want to do it well. And, you know, for a John Brown, he was lighting up teams in the scoreboard and even fantasy lineups in the beginning of the year. But memory does serve correct, before even Lamar stepped into the fold when Flacco got hurt, towards that tail end of that run, John Brown was becoming irrelevant. Why? Because teams started to key in on him because he was such a deep threat. They were scheming against that, and it took away because John Brown – he didn't make a living on ding and dunking. You know what his plays were? Big plays. He did it against Pittsburgh. You know, remember that long touchdown? He did it. He did it the whole beginning of the year, first September and early part of October. Then I felt like mid-October, offenses figured him out. And, you know, I can tell you why, because I'm actually going through the Ravens schedule here and kind of going back on that. So let's see. I mean, because the Steelers game, he did well. So the Browns game, we only scored 9 points, right? Mm-hmm. So receiving, he only had 4 for 58. Actually, Michael Crabtree was the leading receiver against the Cleveland Browns in an overtime loss, okay? Then we played the Titans. We scored 21 points, right? Michael Crabtree, again, was the leading receiver there with a touchdown. John Brown was actually the third receiver. He was 2 for 28. So he only caught 2 balls for 20 yards. So, and don't want to start up there, but I'll jump back up. But the Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football game, okay, he led receivers. He had 3 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown. He had that long touchdown that helped pad his stats, right? So Saints game at home, we lost by 1 point, okay? Let me pull – I'm on the Saints stats. It's not going to work. Now, John Brown in this game, he came alive. He was 7 catches for 134 and a touchdown. So there he reemerged, okay? But mind you, I think a lot of those, and he caught a touchdown in the end, that he got a lot of those yards and that touchdown at that last drive. So, but still, he logged them. Pretty good game, right? Oh, he had 3 for 28 against the Panthers and a big loss there. And then the Steelers' loss was, wow, 3 for 15 against the Steelers in a loss at home. So he had those two big flashes in games, but I just feel he was getting used less and less, or defenses were scheming there. So, I mean, again, they signed 3 good receivers here. You know, I'm not saying they're great. They're not world beaters, but, you know, Snead, possession receiver, Crabtree, you know, he's a proven veteran. He's done it before. He had 8 touchdowns last year. And, you know, John Brown, he's having a resurgence of a career. He's had some injury issues. But I feel with the makeup of this team, I'm going to say this right now, man. I don't – to answer that and obviously wrap that up, I don't think John Brown remains on this team next year. I think he finds somewhere new. Given that his skill set was shown, I think he'll find a new team that best suit his needs. I think Crabtree stays, even though he signed a 3-year deal. I think Crabtree rides it out, still here in Baltimore with the new regime at quarterback. And I feel Willie Snead, I don't know, but lately Snead and Lamar have this connection. So, and with these two rookie tight ends, our tight ends are set, so I'm not worried about there. I'm going to say I think Crabtree stays here. I'm going to say I definitely think Snead stays here. Could be all wrong. I could see a scenario where all three are let go completely because Joe's not here. Or, again, I mean, I know it's not 2019 yet, but Joe should not be here next year. It is the situation that we might be dealt, and these receivers were complimenting Joe. So it could be a different makeup on offense, but what we know is Gus Edwards and Kenneth Dixon, man, I think these guys are here to stay. These guys have a reason. I mean, Gus Edwards is doing some amazing things as an undrafted rookie. And Kenneth Dixon, man, what I love to see about Kenneth Dixon, I mean, we already know Gus Edwards could run the ball hard. But what I loved about Kenneth Dixon was on that 3rd and 4 where he basically he got the ball left on the running attack and he went left and then right, made a guy miss. And he went forward. He absorbed some hits, took the ball forward and got the first down by 1 yard. He gained 5 yards, he got up and flexed, and he was all fired up, and he got me fired up. I said, that's what I missed right there. Where how many times are we worried about getting that first down on a third and mediocre, or third and long? And speaking of that, the Ravens were 10 for 17 on third and fourth down conversions and with the one fourth down conversion. So that kept the chains moving, and it kept the ball control. But I'm going to wrap it up by saying this. How stinking refreshing was this at the end of the game where you know, the Buccaneers went for it and fourth down, the Ravens stopped them. The Ravens got the ball back with about 7 minutes left in the game, and the Buccaneers never sniffed the ball again because of the running attack, and they knelt it out after the two-minute warning, and they did three straight kneel downs to end the game. That's a closer. That's what a running game does for you. I know passing, I feel like this, man. I think because I still love the art of defense, and I think, you know, the AFC North, the Ravens always been known for running the football and defense. They've never been known for that hot passing attack. So, you know, I'm glad that they're bucking the trend, but what is refreshing is, you know, I think football, I think it starts with the running game. Just looking at the art of the game and how it's unfolding here, I think passing is second. Because I think if you pass too much, it's predictable. You can cover receivers. Running the ball, it's easy. You hand the ball off and they run. If you block right and you hit their spots, you can gain yards. Throwing, there's a lot more to it. Got to block for the quarterback. He's got to deliver the ball accurately. You know, the receivers obviously got to catch the ball. Speaking of that, you know, another reason why I wouldn't mind seeing John Brown on the team is how about Mike Evans showing us how to catch a football properly over the middle, why he got a big paycheck over the middle with the hands, snagged that ball out of the air. John Brown, Lamar delivered a perfect ball. It wasn't Lamar's fault. And John Brown tries to dive after it and basically lets it hit with his chest. You don't catch – I mean, I'm not even an NFL receiver getting paid. And I even know the fundamentals of the game. You do not catch a football with your body. Breshad Perriman made a great living here doing that, and he's not here no more. How many times? You cannot let a ball hit you in the chest because it deflects off you no matter which way. It changes the momentum of football. You can't let it hit you. It's what he was trying to do, Brandon. He was trying to let it hit him in his chest and then try to trap the ball with his arms. That's not how you catch a football. You catch a football by attacking the ball, snagging it out of the air. I mean, again, I should be a football player because apparently I know how to do their jobs better than they do. But easier said than done, right? So you're out there running around getting hit. But, dude, it's not hard. And maybe because I've been to so many training camps and seeing done correctly, I don't know. But that's uncalled for. But that's why I think the running game's refreshing because it's less opportunity to make mistakes. The only thing, obviously, you can put the ball on the ground, but fumbles come few and far between. It's not like a running back fumbles every time. You know, but receivers drop balls out there. How many times would we hear a drop ball stat or, oh, if Crabtree would have caught it, he dropped the ball. But you don't hear the running back dropping the ball on a fumble. So to me, running game, and it keeps the clock running, especially when you have the lead. Incomplete pass stops the clock. So I feel like the running game, I feel like, is the focal point of football, and it starts there. And then when that happens, you open up play action, you open up passing game. And passing, I feel, when done correctly and in the right moments, it can get you big plays. It can get the defense off guard because they're looking at running stack in the box, and it can move the chains in a different way and get you certain plays. So I feel like the Ravens, I kind of like the way they're attacking it. But that's just me. You know, you might love the passing game, by all be it. Have it on your fancy team. You can watch the red zone. You can watch other teams play, but you're not going to have it here because the Ravens are winning with a different formula, and that formula is working, and I love it.
What's working is working, and that's what I love. When things just work, the things come right together, it makes sense to me. So looking
it's forward, an easy formula, right?
Right, yeah. if it's not broke, don't fix it type of deal.
That's what Weddle said once.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And speaking of Eric Weddle, we will be visiting his old team, even though they're in a new location, his old team on Saturday. And it'll be his first time back over in California to play his former team, his best buddy, Philip Rivers. You know, they've been talking, and this is going to be the offense's biggest challenge yet. I mean, we keep saying that every single week, what they're going to be able to do. But with the travel to the West Coast, with a team that is in the playoffs and, you know, has been pretty good this year, this really is going to be a tough win for the Ravens. So, Josh, how do the Ravens come away with a W? How do they come home for Christmas with a win in their stocking?
Great question. When they're going to have to, number one, obviously, prove themselves to get on the road in a huge game. And this is a lot different than going to Arrowhead. This is a lot different than going to Atlanta. Way different because the Ravens are actually going to be facing on the offensive side, on their side of the ball, against a Chargers defense who's ranked 8th in the league overall. So they're facing a top 10 defense. The Ravens boast by statistically, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it, the best team in the NFL statistic-wise. So right now, two top 10 defenses coming clashing on Saturday night in a huge game. That is a playoff game, essentially. Obviously, for the Ravens, for the Chargers, it certainly is because they play before the Chiefs on Sunday. And they're right now got a half game deficit to the Chargers, even though the Chargers beat the Chiefs. It's got to start there. You know, the way the Ravens are going to execute their offense rushing it, it's going to be very tested. And this is why I'm excited to really see how they respond, because with Derwin James at safety, you know, a lot of people were expecting him to be a Raven, including myself. I wasn't. And he's on the Chargers making moves and making big plays for him. And I feel like they can set the edge better. So that's going to be different because Lamar likes to do what he wants to do. He likes to do that RPO running outside, you know, leaving the runners on the interior. So the Chargers are quick on the edges. So it's going to be interesting to see how they contain the Ravens offense that way. And especially the Ravens, how they want to execute the throwing attack. So, excuse me, my mouth's getting dry. The way they want to approach it that way is going to be very, very key. And then obviously on the Ravens defensive side, Chargers offensive side, the Ravens have to figure out a way to stop another MVP candidate attack. I mean, they pretty much did well against Mahomes, against the Chiefs. So they're more similar. I mean, Mahomes has just got the magic, but Philip Rivers is building a Hall of Fame resume like none other. He's going to be there one day in Canton. And it's always quiet. He's that quiet Hall of Famer because the Chargers have never made really much noise. They miss the playoffs a lot, and I think this is their first playoffs in 3 or 4 years, I believe. So, again, they had their own playoff woes and always falter in December. They start off hot, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start off like 7-2 or something like that, and then lose like, all these games in a row, and it's just horrible. But, but the fact remains is their prime position, and things can fall in their place for themselves with the number one seed. So they got something to play for, still a divisional crown for both of their divisions, and our divisions are not decided yet with 2 weeks left. So lots at stake. I feel like both teams are going to play hard under the lights, and it's going to be a real, real interesting attack. And I've heard about the injury report. We're going to monitor this closely because the Ravens obviously are healthy, relatively. But
yeah, Anthony Levine is the only one to not participate in practice this week. So, I mean, that's really saying something for the Ravens. They are very healthy right now.
This late in the season, I think this is the healthiest I've ever seen this team, which I'm proud of. I couldn't be more ecstatic for that, and I'm not going to win in case somebody gets hurt. But the Chargers, man. Yeah, Keenan Allen went down. I know, and I know they've had the rest. And this is what I get real upset about too with the scheduling. You can't really complain about it, but the Chargers last played on Thursday night, and even though they played, that game, you know, they get to stay out west and towards there, and they get the more longer rest, and they're home. The Ravens, you know, they just played on Sunday and got to travel cross country on a shorter week. You know, so again. Everybody feels like the Ravens are getting shafted on the scheduling and the traveling. It remains to be seen, but you got to overcome that. If you want to be a great team, got to overcome the travel woes. And that's besides the point. It could bode in, obviously, in LA's favor, LA speaking of the Chargers' favor, in that. So the Ravens just know what's at stake. And Lamar, in his weekly press conference, he was asked about primetime. Did you hear what he said? Young man said something good.
What did he say?
He said, man, I ain't worried about prime time. You know what he said? Prime time is after the W. I love this kid, man. I really do, man. He says all the right things. I don't know, man. I mean, I really feel, again, I'm in the minority, but I don't know if you've ever just sat there and just watched the guy's press conference. I love listening to this kid talk. I don't know. It's just he laughs. I love it because he is a kid. He's 21 years old, but a reporter asked him something, and he was like, psh, like, like he just starts like laughing, like brushing off, like, did you really ask me that? Or like, it's just, it's a real fun interview. Like he's very personal with the media and he gets him laughing. I just love the way he's spoken. I mean, I met him, I talked to him for a few minutes at minicamp, got a picture with him. It is my profile picture on Facebook. So I actually got to meet the kid in person. So if you haven't, I at least know what I'm talking about because I've heard him interact. He was right in front of me. I saw some fans, friends of mine, got to meet him after the Tampa Bay game. And he was very personable, doing a lot of great things for kids. And I really feel like he's going to be a great thing. Again, you know, you never want to forget what Joe did. But right now the team's winning. And it's really hard to really reflect on all that while they're in the midst of a playoff run and the team's winning. But we have plenty of all season to say, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, say all of our words we want to and get it all out there and really turn the page. And I think that's why I think a lot of people are having such a hard time because the page was forced to be turned during the season. You don't have enough time. It's like, again, I'm not equating this like a death or anything, but it's like, I mean, I just, the only thing I can hang my hat on that is grieving. Like, you know, people don't have time to grieve, for lack of better words or terms, is that's it. It's Joe goes down, here comes Lamar, and we start winning. And it's, well, what about Joe? Well, we don't have time to go, what about Joe? We're winning football games, and they're 2 weeks away from trying to put together something here. So just hold off. And that's what I feel like it is, man. If I can summarize my feelings in that statement, that's what I think it is. It's too many people are trying to go back in the past. And I'm like, dude, we're already 4-1 in the last five games. And you're worried about Joe's hip or Joe's career here. I'm like, you can't. I mean, it's done. Done when he got hurt his hip. Sorry, but that's football. That's the business. Happens. I mean, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's karma, but it's kind of ironic because that's how Joe got his start. So Joe should know, because that's really how he got his start. You know, Kyle Bowler gets hurt. Troy Smith has tonsillitis, and here comes Joe Flacco. He played the whole preseason game because he was the only last preseason game that year in 2008 because he was the only quarterback on the roster at that point, so they had to hire some backups. So Joe knows he got his start by forced way. He wasn't supposed to start in 2008. He was supposed to be a third-string bench warmer for a while until he was ready. And what did he do? 11-5 record, playoff, AFC title game, threw a pick six to Troy Polamalu, tried to lead the team. We already know what he did in 5 years, and he built the legend of Joe Flacco. But just thinking about that as we were talking, I wanted to just end it and tie everything together with that. But right now, they're in the midst of an important run. And, this is how huge this game is. It's such a huge playoff implication game. It is a playoff game where if the Ravens were to lose this one and if things go horribly wrong with other games the scoreboard watching, the Ravens can go from possibly being the front runner for a sixth seed or the front runner for even a division title because they're half game out with two games to play to possibly not even being the playoffs come Monday or Tuesday. So it's a pressure-packed Saturday night, believe it or not. And, of course, I remember Christmas night with you 2 years ago with the Pittsburgh game. It wouldn't be Christmas without a pressure-packed Ravens game in that weekend, right?
That's what it feels like. I mean, it's kind of weird that it's coming a little bit earlier than Christmas this time around.
I love it, though. Saturday night, it's great, man. I remember they were tossing around the if they were going to have this game on Saturday or Sunday, and it came out that they were going to put this game on Saturday. And for all those who really doesn't know the scheduling, because a lot of people forgot football was last week, the NFL has been doing this for as long as I can remember now, where in December they start having Saturday night football games, especially. I mean, the Ravens did it in 2008, I believe, was the last time they did it on Saturday night when they played the Dallas Cowboys and closed out Texas Stadium in style. And that was the running game, not the passing game, in that one featured. For all those who want to go back and watch the highlights, I don't remember any big passing plays. It was running. But I digress. Yeah, I mean, it's huge, and there was two games last week, and then obviously, and this isn't even important for the Ravens, not they want scoreboard watch, but we get to watch the Titans play right before us at 4:30, so, and they're right in the thick of it, even though we did beat them, they're right there, so the Ravens, they don't really need a scoreboard watch, they just got to go out and beat their opponent, but just say, if it is a successful win against L.A., the Ravens will be 9-6 coming home. Obviously, Pittsburgh plays in New Orleans on Sunday. Now, and I'm going to cover these scenarios to break it all down. If the Ravens were to win out, go 10-6, the Steelers were to lose one game out of two, they play at New Orleans, which still have something to play for, and at or and then they play at home against Cincinnati, I believe. I believe that's a home game for Pittsburgh. Then we play home against the Browns. So it's division and division games last week. The Ravens go 2-0. Steelers go 1-1. Their division chance by game. The Steelers would be half game behind us, and we flip flop places, and we would get a home playoff game in the wild card round, which would be insane after all this craziness this season. The Ravens lose, and this is how the Ravens can get knocked out. I know it's a lot of scenarios, so bear with me, and hopefully you're following along, Brandon. If you're lost, just reel me back in. But right now, you get it. You know, 2-0 went out. 1-1, Steelers go. Ravens are AFC North champions. Home playoff game. Crazy. Scenario number two, the Ravens could get out of the playoffs if they were to lose and the Titans, Steelers, and Colts all win. So they need three teams to win and the Ravens were to lose. That means they would be eliminated as of this weekend. So that's a slim chance for that to happen, but hey, it can happen. I mean, hey, they were 97% chance to make the playoffs at the Bengals game last year, and look what happened. So just because you have the high percentages don't mean squat. You know, you got to take care of your business. But and some other scenarios where they could still obviously get in if they were to lose, and then those three teams don't all lose, or if those they don't all don't win, some of them lose in any combination, and the Ravens would have to beat the Browns in Week 17 and then scoreboard watch again. I like the way the Ravens have it. It's a playoff atmosphere. Win, keep going. It's like winning, you're in. Okay, win this one. All right. Then all you got to do is if we're at a Week 17 scenario again on New Year's weekend. You beat another divisional opponent home. This is another Ohio team, but it's the Browns instead of the Bengals. Same thing, start with a B. They're from Ohio. Sort of the same colors, orange-ish, brownish, I don't know. But say same stakes. So if you win Saturday night, we're doing it all again, deja vu, with a different team. Win at home, last game of the year to get in the playoffs. So that shall be fun. Can't wait. Ooh, but got to get past these pesky Chargers. They're going to be a tall task. I tell you what, man. I don't know about you. I don't know what you feel about this one. But I feel the Ravens can get this one.
They have to. They
I believe you're right. They have to. But I think you're right. Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They don't, and it could be gritting your teeth from here on out. But woulda, shoulda, coulda. But I feel this way because they played the. And again, I know it's different teams, different circumstances, but they played the Chiefs so close, and that was another MVP candidate. And but defense travels, which they did in Arrowhead. I know it was a crazy play that was made, but Lamar already showed us in Atlanta. Again, that was everybody was saying that was a fluke away game because there was nobody in the stands, more Ravens fans there, and it was less noisy. Arrowhead was packed with Chiefs faithfuls, and you know, it was crazy. It was a playoff-type atmosphere, and he did it. He nearly did it when he threw a touchdown pass to John Brown to put us up 24-17 with a minute on the clock, or just over a minute. It was craziness. You know, I really thought when he threw that touchdown – the place I was watching at, it was shaking. We were like, dude, you think we won the playoff game? It was like, it was crazy. Like, oh my God. And freaking Lamar's on the cusp of taking him down. And then it would have been one of those and what in your face if they had did it. But obviously it was on the losing end. But I feel like they can get the Chargers because it's so close. The Chargers have their own woes. You know, Keenan Allen went down with injury. Even though he did go down with an injury last week, he's expected to come back. Now, Melvin Gordon's 50-50. He's not close to 100. He can play him, but he's already said he's not 100. So their two key players are banged up. Even if they were to come in, I feel like the Ravens with a game plan to attack those players, that has to happen. So I don't think they're going to be decoys. If they're out there, who knows? But I feel like the Ravens, they want to be successful. They got to exploit that. And we'll see how they'll handle the Chargers. But I really feel like with the back against the wall on the road, prime time or not, I feel like I'm gonna be on Lamar on this one, man. I'm gonna quote him. You know, prime time is after the W, and we can really be in prime time then, and party hard into the holiday weekend and sipping our eggnogs and really starting off with a great gift from the Baltimore Ravens and a huge road win to start off the Christmas weekend. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
I swear to you, my eggnog was not spiked.
So, Josh, let me ask you, have we covered everything for the call this week?
Oh, man. Just like Santa's sack was heavy with toys and all good gifts for all, I think we had this one full. And, man, a hearty holiday Christmas, quoth the Raven, never more.
All right, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, make sure you go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And this will be the last audio podcast of the year for The Call. So next week after the Chargers game, to get you prepped for the Browns and the return of Breshad Perryman to the Ravens radar.
So scary.
Go over to our Facebook page and either Josh or I will be doing a Red Eye review and a Purple Friday preview on Facebook Live. So make sure you go over there and check that out. Due to the holidays, we won't have time to sit down and record an audio version. So we're going to have to do it live on Facebook. So make sure you go over and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast, so you don't miss anything. But the audio version of the show will be back in 2019. So be on the lookout for that as well. So we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. If you're out there and you celebrate Christmas, have a very Merry Christmas. I hope you guys really enjoy the Christmas time. Have a Happy New Year. I will see you in 2019. But Josh, get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much for all you do in 2018 this year for the call. And man, I couldn't thank you enough. You know, Merry Christmas to you. Have a Happy New Year. And man, we'll be talking next year, and hopefully we'll be ramping up a playoff podcast. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me, man. It's been a while.
Oh, I know you'll be on as always. You know, whether me and you decide to break it down on Facebook Live, we'll be there every step of the way. Can't wait to interact with everybody who's along for the ride. Appreciate every one of you. I value everybody's, I value everybody's opinions. I value everybody's takes. It always gets us talking. It gets us with a fresh perspective. I'm rooting this team hard and just trying to figure it all out. Yeah, because no one holds the answers, but it's always fun to cover and everything that we do. And man, Like man, prime time, Saturday night, Christmas weekend, huge game in L.A. Doesn't get any better than this, right? Can't get any better than this. It's perfect, you know? Can't wait to, you know, just get it started off right. Get out of work this week, everybody who's still working. If you're off, great. And get ready for Saturday night if everybody's having a holiday party. I know we're doing our Christmas party, I know some of us are actually getting together as a flock, per se, and we're getting together doing some Christmas exchanges, and we're doing cookies and eggnog, and I'm going to have my Raven Santa hat. And a giveaway of the game last week is I got a nifty Raven scarf. I didn't cover that in the show, but I wanted to let that know that I got a great gift for the Ravens, and it was no rinky-dinky gift, man. The scarf is pretty good, and got a great scarf. And I'm going to wear my Santa hat and root this team on hard, man. The flock's going to come together this Christmas weekend. Enjoy it with friends and family if you're watching, whatever you decide to do. But I know presents will be open and football will be watched and the Ravens will be rooted hard. It's do or die. It's a playoff atmosphere this late in December. 2 weeks left of football. I love it. I'm going to enjoy every second of it, rooting hard. And you know, obviously, like everybody, the high anxiety, the pins and needles, the drama, every play hanging on to what it should have, could have. You got to execute, and I'm leaving it all out there, man. Like the war cry of the marketing team this year, the Ravens. Every decibel counts, and obviously every decibel count during away games. I think it does. You got to root your team hard, no matter if they can't hear you on the TV or not. I'm still gonna yell, and everything counts, man. And we have to bring it. And culminates in 2 weeks at home, but got to get through the Chargers. Got to get through these these LA Chargers always want to say San Diego. It's right there. It's they were SD for so long. But hey, I want some Victor ice cream along with Eric Weddle. Payson's former team. Can the Ravens do it? Saturday night, tallest task of the year. They just escaped with that loss in Kansas City. That was one of their biggest tests of the year. But the Ravens could do it right this time and right the wrongs that they have been in Kansas City and take it to their Kansas City's division rival, the LA Chargers, who are red hot right now, just like the Ravens. And it's all going to come to a conclusion Saturday night under the lights in Los Angeles. Hollywood's going to have a big, big script. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, are you ready? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.